Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Journey to Grateful podcast, a podcast to help clarify the process of loss and grief through experiences shared from myself and others living with loss. I'm your host, Tim Begonia, and this is show number 124. In this podcast, I will review the many myths of grief to help you better prepare for the road ahead. You are invited to join the Journey to Grateful community and share your story to help others better understand grief, how it affects us moving forward, and how best to navigate its difficult path. I also encourage you to join the community over on Facebook and Instagram, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you prefer for podcasts, and find quick links to do both over at journeytograteful.com. And lastly, I ask that you take a moment, why, to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Doing this will help this podcast reach more and more people like yourself in need of an insightful grief resource which can help them navigate their grief journey. Now, in creating the Journey to Grateful podcast, my mission has always been to share a variety of viewpoints throughout the grief process through story, inspiration, insights, and experiences. Now, occasionally I will receive comments or emails regarding an episode or a thread running through several episodes that may have triggered a response. In today's episode, this has been inspired truly by these types of feedback from a few listeners. Now, the common thread being how they are working through various aspects of moving forward and living with grief on a daily basis. Successes and concerns of theirs have been shared in hopes that their experiences can help others navigating similar situations. The reality of taking steps to move forward and what that entails to do so can be a very different experience for each and every person, and it's much different than you might assume that it will be. So come along as I share with you, in their own words, how they are attempting to move forward with grief. I must begin this episode with a big thank you to my friend and fellow bereavement group attendee, John, who recently wrote me regarding his attempts at moving forward. Now, the reason I would like to share a few of his insights, as well as additional insights sprinkled in between from others that I've heard from over the past few weeks, is because of the honest, straightforward take on this difficult aspect of our grief journey. Now, I believe that many friends who might stand a few feet outside our inner circles believe that grief is made up of only the sadness and the loss. However, I am here to point out that grief presents itself within the rebuilding of the future for the life that you had once planned. You see, grief is also steeped in those small moments when you consciously try to laugh again, but you fail because of the guilt that washes over you. So John understands this, not only because he's read it in articles or has friends like myself who have told him and warned him and given him guidelines, but through his own raw experiences. John lost his wife, Mary Grace, to dementia a little more than a year ago at the recording of this episode, and they were married 57 incredible years. 57 years of marriage in and of itself seems to me to be an impossible detail to fully grasp, but I can, however, appreciate it. Colleen and I were married 2 months shy of 15 years, and my loss, as it is associated with that amount of time sharing my life with her, is hard enough. I simply cannot easily put myself in John's place in regards to how those years, along with so much more, affects his grief journey just a bit differently than mine. It's a unique piece of the grief puzzle in which we live. You see, no matter the circumstances of your loss, although there are differences to your story versus mine versus someone else's, grief seems to be the grand equalizer in life. I may not be able to fully grasp the experience of losing someone that I've spent 57 years as part of my life, but from my limited experience, I can certainly appreciate what that truly means. So John's grief hill might be a bit steeper, and it may have a few additional obstacles to overcome, but the steps he has taken to try to move forward are very much the same for us all. Some of us will find much benefit and comfort on working one-on-one with a therapist, perhaps, while others are more comfortable attending a bereavement group, a more open discussion where perhaps the spotlight isn't solely upon themselves. The important thing here is not the type of help that you seek, but that you realize the importance and benefits of seeking out help at all. Beneficial help doesn't have to come only from a professional. Now, here's an example. Here's what John shared with me. I've taken suggestions from everyone to accept offers of going to breakfast, lunch, or even dinner with friends, relatives, and family. I have accepted invitations to go to movies and fine arts theater performances. And John went on to say, I do this all in the name of moving forward with my life, without my wife, which is obviously the hardest task he has ever had to face alone, I am sure. I have another friend, Sarah, who lost her husband of 28 years just under 2 years ago. Sarah reached out to tell me her biggest surprise regarding her grief journey was how to begin living again, redefining what living again was supposed to look like. She went on to say, I never realized that in a much different way than my initial grief, this part of grief would be just as difficult, if not more so. I wasn't prepared for that, but I think I have the tools to get through it. I know others who have done it, and I don't hesitate to ask them how. Yet another friend, Tina, from my bereavement group, shared her answer to the question that I posed several weeks ago, which was, what one thing do you wish everyone knew about grief? Tina said, quite simply, fear. The fear of being alone and fear of the future. And she went on to share more. I was 19 when we got married, and I had gone from my parents' home to the sorority house in college and on to being married. Although Harry oftentimes had meetings at night, I was never alone overnight until he was in the hospital when he became sick. Now here's the important thing. I believe this reality is necessary to share because it is one of the many, many pieces of this 10,000-piece puzzle that we call grief. At first glance, her simple story may seem a bit nostalgic and sweet, but when it's paired with the grief of her loss, as well as the fear associated with the unknown, it becomes something much more real. It's so important to actually understand her situation, her story, as that can and will affect the grief in which Tina is facing today and beyond. She continued to explain the reason she is beginning to fear the future. Now my fear is not being alone in the house, because I'm comfortable with that, but rather, it's the thought of being alone forever. That thought morphs into the fear of the future. I feel what the future holds for me is accepting the fact that I am alone. I can be busy with lots of activities and travels all over the world, and yet, at the end of the day, I'm still alone. That frightens me for the future. Now, this is a very powerful aspect of the reality of grief so wonderfully encapsulated in a few sentences, so honest and bold. John, like Tina, has often mentioned to me how the end of any day is usually the toughest for him. The being alone is hard, and at the end of the day, you're just alone. And I'm here to tell you, I've had similar concerns about the reality of my future as well. The uncertainty of it all is one thing, but the potential of being alone for the foreseeable future is on a whole new level of which I cannot accurately explain to you. The uncertainty of what, if anything, may be next is something I can't and hadn't considered I would need to deal with at this point in my life. I am so thankful to Tina for sharing that thought with me because at the time, it allowed me to finally reflect on a silent issue I hadn't realized I was having inside myself. As I try to move forward on my path with loss and becoming a single father of three, my health and making certain that I'm taking steps to take care of myself is suddenly a bit more important than ever before. And to that end, I found an all-natural mental performance shot called Magic Mind, which was designed to boost energy and focus, crush procrastination, and help elevate mental clarity. Now, it was an intriguing product for me because I've been feeling a bit off mentally over the past few months. Nothing major, but more often distracted, a bit less energy, and an overall sense of being less than on my game mentally. So I researched Magic Mind and discovered it seemed to promise help in all of those specific areas. But what grabbed my attention most was its form factor. It's just a 2-ounce performance shot. It's not an energy drink. And you can work with it and add it to your morning routine, which my morning routine involves coffee. I kind of like what I coin designer coffee, flavored lattes that only have a hint of coffee, so taste is important to me. Magic Mind might seem odd at first. You see, it's green, but the taste is actually quite good. It's a citrus flavor that's slightly sweet. And the green is due to natural ingredients such as matcha, which is a great resource for longer released caffeine, which helps reduce stress. And dealing with grief on a daily basis, that's definitely a plus as well. And since I've had a chance to try Magic Mind over the past 2+ weeks, I've noticed a change in many of the things I was concerned about. Knowing how loss affects many aspects of so many of us, mental performance being a very common piece, I thought it might be nice if I could share Magic Mind's benefits with others. I've been able to secure a discount for my listeners who might want to give Magic Mind a try like I have. All you have to do is use my discount code, GRATEFUL20. Go to magicmind.com/grateful to save 56% off a 30-pack subscription. All you have to do is go to magicmind.com/grateful and use code GRATEFUL20. And if you'd rather try just a smaller taste of Magic Mind, that code will also allow you to save 20% on a one-time purchase as well. Now, I like Magic Mind not only because it's all natural, but I've actually seen effects so far with my focus, my energy level, mental clarity, reduced anxiety, and even my creativity has gotten a boost. So if I can achieve this with little or no disruption to my morning routine by simply adding a 2-ounce mental performance shot after my typical coffee, I am all in. So I have one additional detail I'd like for all of us to keep in mind, and that is you never know what thing you might be going through, which might shed a light upon something that someone else might be dealing with as well. Your experience, if you share it with others, might help someone that is going through a similar situation. Sharing your story, at the very least here, within the safe walls of the Journey to Grateful podcast, can offer unknown support to so many. You just never know how you could help someone by just simply sharing your story. So I really encourage you to share your story when you get a chance. So again, thank you, Tina, for sharing your fear with me several weeks ago. It was presented to me at just the right moment for me to face it personally, and that was very helpful at that time. And continuing on again with more from John, as we all know, there are constantly moments in grief which you find those tears just won't hold, and your love and anxiety begins to show itself running down your cheeks. The truth is, even as I approach the 4th anniversary for myself, the tears still show up. And John reminded me of the strength grief demands from us all, and provided for me a glimpse of how he's trying to deal with it himself. My goal is to try to move on with my life as I feel Mary Grace would want me to. My goal with moving on with my life is to be able to look back on the memories I have of her and smile. I can't do that yet. I still look back at the memories, but instead of smiling, I cry. I am not there yet, and I feel I have a long way to go to get there. John's honesty here touches me because it echoes so much of what I've experienced. I'd like to suggest for everyone, there will be many times, far, far too many times, when you feel you have a long way to go. This entire path just seems never ending. And I would like you to consider this when you have that thought. As deeply as you have loved, as many years as you have done so, and everything that went into those years, the path in front of you to reach a moment in time when those tears don't immediately rise up may be equally as long. And rightly so. How dare we hope to allow our tears to subside more quickly than it took those memories to form? We might want to celebrate a few of those tears, as they have been developed through and because of so many incredible memories. And then, just when I thought John had provided a treasure trove of good things to reflect upon for myself, he added this. I am not the same person I was before my wife passed. I am a different person. It is up to me to get on with my life now that my better half is no longer with me. I take it one day at a time, small steps rather than big steps. I believe this entire thought stream may initially seem obvious, but there are two details I would like to focus upon, which are anything but. Now, he first says, I am not the same person I was before, which is so very, very true, and it seems to be as important for us ourselves to understand this as much as for everyone else around us to understand this. We need to understand that we are not the same as we were because a piece of us was stripped from our side. And this goes for someone who may have lost a brother, a best friend, a grandparent, or a daughter. When someone who was such a large part of you is taken from you, you cannot possibly be entirely whole again. And thus you are not the same person as you were before their passing. You just simply can't be. I would like to urge those outside our circle to take this into consideration as well, especially when you're fighting that urge to ask us, when will you be over it? I think what John has brought forth here addresses that question quite nicely. And secondly, John ends his thought with this. I take it one day at a time, small steps rather than big steps. Now, this is important for us all to consider. It's all too easy to wish and hope for us to be farther ahead than we actually are. Whether we are comparing ourselves to someone on a similar path, and please, by the way, don't do this. You should never compare yourself to the place you are versus someone else. Or maybe, perhaps, it's just that we wish in a moment to be better, quicker. Now, we need to be okay with where we are as long as we are trying. Tina added an important admission at the end of her note to me, and I think this speaks for most all of us. And she said, "While I know what you say about it's okay not to be okay is true, that is not what I want to convey to others. I can be honest with myself. Oftentimes, that will lead to thoughts of guilt, the coulda, woulda, shoulda. Baby steps, I guess. Now, Tina brings up a great point. Although it's true that we all should be okay with not being okay, that isn't to say that we that can become our excuse to not try to be okay, right? And let's face it, how we present ourselves, quote-unquote, in the real world actually matters. It always has, and I think it always will, right? So if not truly mattering for our friends or our family and the people outside who might understand, it ultimately matters to us inside, right? So I believe that is what Tina is saying. She is okay admitting to herself that she's not okay. However, to do so to others, it's not who she wants to portray, and I get that. I also wish we could just always be honest and show everyone how we are, but I know that we can't. For myself personally, there are a few people I can be okay with not being okay in front of, and that, in practice, isn't very often, actually. But I would like to not feel like I need to make excuses for when I'm not okay, and I believe that you out there are thinking and feeling the same way. I also appreciate Tina's conclusion, which echoes John's. Baby steps. Absolutely. This is not a race. The grief process is not something to rush. You may know someone in your life who seems to wonder when you are going to accomplish some sort of unwritten phase of your grief, as though the things you are experiencing with grief happen in a nice, neat order under the watchful eyes of a specific timeline. And as we all know here, that's a false assumption. Baby steps is just the right pace we all need to be comfortable with as we try to deal with the reality of attempting to move forward. Rushing grief will do you no good, it will not serve you well, and it will most likely become a greater burden upon you. We also need to realize that moving forward means to do so with your grief. It does not mean to leave your grief and your memories or any part of your story behind. But there does come a time when that forward motion must begin to look like living again, discovering ourselves again, or better yet, rediscovering ourselves. Dan, another friend of mine from my bereavement group, referenced in our discussion at last week's meeting the author of Tuesdays with Maury, Mitch Albom. And Mitch had wrote, "All endings are really beginnings. We just don't know it at the time." Now let me repeat that first part again. All endings are really beginnings. And no quote will ever take away the fact that we have lost someone and it hurts and it is a large mountain to climb. I'm aware of that and I'm not suggesting that we forget that in any manner. But I believe this quote has the power to provide for us a slightly different perspective of moving forward than most of us has had the chance to consider. And let me say it in a different way. Just as when you read a book, once a chapter has ended, and you're about to turn the page, there always seems to be that promise of the beginning of another chapter. Now all you need to consider is, how will your next chapter begin? Thank you once again for listening to the Journey to Grateful podcast. I'm thankful for you taking the time to listen to this podcast and sharing it with others if and when you get the chance. I encourage you to stop by the community on social media, share your own story and insights about grief, and join our family in helping others on this path. Head on over to journeytograteful.com/community to find ways to join the conversation and make a difference through your story. And while you're on the site, please sign up for my bi-monthly newsletter designed to provide you inspiration and motivation. And if you would like a more personal connection with me, simply email me, tim@journeytograteful.com. But why not give me a call? Yeah, you can give me a call. You can leave me a voicemail, or you can simply text me. Go ahead and use the number. It's 262-298-2428. That's 262-298-CHAT. And lastly, help me please build this community, broaden my reach, and support my mission by reviewing this show and telling others why you listen. You can do so over at Apple Podcasts, and I've provided you a leave a review button at the website journeytograteful.com. So go ahead and tell others or write a review. Any way that you can spread the word, I would appreciate it. And thank you very much for doing so. As we wrap up this episode, I've decided to share a bit of a lengthy inspiration, which I hope speaks to you all on its own. It was written by Arthur Golden from Memoirs of a Geisha. Grief is a most peculiar thing. We're so helpless in the face of it. It's like a window that will simply open of its own accord. The room grows cold, and we can do nothing but shiver. But it opens a little less each time, and a little less. And one day, we wonder what has become of it. Thank you again, my friends, for joining me today. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode or any previous episodes. And for those who are currently walking on their path with grief, I hope you find a way to walk confidently on your journey to grateful. Bye-bye.